This reminds me of when we were doing outdoor church. Remember that? And you could actually see our breath going and all of that. Oh, no. That's interesting. Well, let's get everything that we need here. We have been looking at some of the Christmas carols, and our title of the message this morning is Come Let Us Adore Him. And this message this morning is going to be kind of a summary of what we've touched on the last three, and then pulling it together with this call from this anthem, O Come All Ye Faithful. And let's, before we start and open God's Word, discuss God's words, let's pray this morning. Father, again, we want to just pray one more time. Ask that your Spirit would be here. Father, that you would make, that we would make room in our hearts for you right now as you come to minister to us through your Word. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. We've been doing this series that we entitled Wonders of His Love, looking at some of the Christmas carols and teaching the Advent principles. Not only the Advent principles as it related to the first Advent and the incarnation of Christ, but also Advent principles as it relates to us today as we look forward to His second Advent. The first hymn we did, the first Christmas carol, was In the Bleak Midwinter. And again, this message is going to be kind of a summary. We're going to encapsulate. It's going to go really fast. And just when you think it's going to end, it's not. But then it will end. It's still going to be relatively short comparatively. In the Bleak Midwinter, we talked about when the earth was at an all-time low when Jesus came, when he sent his son into the world. The society was failing, the church was failing, oppression was at an all-time high, both in society and actually in the church. It was at a time when the knowledge of who God was and what he was all about and what his plan of salvation was about was quickly fading from the minds and hearts of his people. God did not pick the most convenient time in history, the most comfortable time in history, to send his son into the world. But he picked a time where it was the best chance for saving you. The timing was not with him in mind, but it was with you in mind. Then the next week, we looked at this Christmas carol, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. And from this message, from this Christmas carol, we talked about the principle that he who was one with the Father, Jesus, in perfect union, in perpetual friendship with the Father, in love, in eternity past, he was the agent of creation, and it was him who, from the very beginning with the Father, had a plan to save mankind should they step away. When they made their creation, they already had a plan in the heart of God already to step in. And Jesus had already committed to come if such a need arose, and in fact it did. And when we think about him leaving his throne, we have to realize that there was some point in time in eternity past. Well, actually, not so far, but past for us, when Jesus, the divine Jesus and the divine Father, walked side by side and held each other in one last divine embrace before he then became a single cell in Mary's womb to develop like every other baby on this planet over 9 months, and to then become a child born with all the situation that we are all very familiar with, and become one with humanity, that he would forever leave that divine relationship and become human for the rest of eternity future. When the Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, he literally gave Jesus to the human race forever. Thou didst leave thy throne. The next week, and this was last week, we looked at this very popular Christmas carol. You guys are all familiar with this. I actually heard this on a Christian radio station, Abiding Radio, for the seasonal hymns, and they had Break Forth, O Beauteous Heavenly Light. The person did almost as good as Ann Anderson did when she sang it for us last week. But we talked about this work because in this Christmas carol, it talks about how the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So last week, and Anya touched on this some in Sabbath school, we discussed the depths to which Jesus came. We read that it would have been an almost infinite humiliation if he had come to become one like Adam in his perfection in the garden. But Jesus yet stepped lower, becoming one with humanity, to be made like unto his brethren. We talked about and read a passage that said the race and consequence of sin was at enmity with God. But then in one simple sentence says this: Christ, at an infinite cost, by a painful process, mysterious to angels as well as to men, assumed humanity. So we talked about the infinite cost that it had on heaven and the painful process that it brought. We looked at Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, where your Bible says, "For in all things he was made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. For in that he himself hath been suffered, being tempted, he is able to help those that are being tempted." We read passage after passage after passage of Scripture of how he was made like unto his brethren, how he identified with us. And the reality of how far Christ has stepped down on our behalf needs to not be suppressed, but allowed to break forth upon the hearts of and minds of us individually and as us as a church. That understanding of what Christ has done and how far he has come will be transformative in its effect on your heart and on the church at large. And we read a passage, or I shared a passage that went like this: "For he came to seek and save the lost, and in saving the lost, he came to the lost where we are. He put himself among the lost. He was numbered with the transgressors and was made to be sin." And from the standpoint of weakness and infirmity of the lost, he trusted in God that he would deliver him and save him. Laden with the sins of the world and tempted in all points like as we are, he hoped in God, he trusted in God to save him from those sins and to keep him from sinning. And you heard it said last week also that there is no man or woman in the whole wide world for whom there is no hope in God. For there is no hope in God, no one so lost that he cannot be saved by trusting God in the faith of Jesus. And this faith of Jesus, by which in the place of the lost he hoped in God entrusted God for salvation for sin and the power to keep from sinning. In this faith of Jesus, the victory of His is that which He has brought, in which obtaining the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, that faith is His free gift to every man in this world, every man, woman, and child. And thus, this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith, the faith that He is the author and finisher of. And this is the faith that He has given to every man. For we read in the Bible that He's given to every man a measure of faith. And the question last week for all of us was, will we keep that measure of faith? Will we hold on to it and never let it go? Will you walk in the power of the faith that He is the author of? And so then we come to this week, and this is kind of the final in this series. The hymn or the Christmas carol is, O Come All Ye Faithful. It is an anthem. It is a call. It is an invitation. It's a response. It's an anthem of anticipation and impatience almost, as it invites, you can hear it say, O come. Have you ever been said, hey, come see this. Have you ever been seen someone with that excitement? That is what is pent up in this Christmas carol, to come. Oh, come, oh, come. Will you come, faithful one? In light of all that God has so freely given to the world, and also to you personally, will you come? That's the question. Will you come to the one, in Romans chapter 8, it reminds you of this verse, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Will you come to this one who has freely given and would freely give you all things? With the choirs of angels singing their anthem, will you come? With every citizen of the fallen planet, will you come? Will you tell others and leave no one behind? Isn't that that's a principle? Where did Ron go? I don't see his lights. His lights went out. Oh, where is he? Is he back there? He's out. Okay. Ron, we're missing your lights in here. But they leave no one. You join the Marines, you join the Army, they don't leave no one behind, right? There's no one. Will you leave no one behind? Will you tell others to come? To give Him freely the adoration that He alone deserves. Let's sing this hymn. I want us to sing it. I'm going to ask Holly and Leif and Anya to lead us. And it's in your hymnals, but the words will be up here too. It's 132 in your hymnals. O Come All Ye Faithful. I want to sing this song together. And this is a part where you're thinking, hey, we're almost done. Remember I said it's going to seem like we're done, but then we're not? All right. Lead us in this song together.
Hymn number 249 in the blue book and 132 in the brown book.
Oh, come all ye faithful.
You may be seated. You know, one of the things that caught my attention as I was thinking about this Christmas carol this week and this anthem and this call is this. Oh, we'll do that, and then we'll go back, and I got it out of line. So, okay. Is this. It's a call to the faithful, right? And immediately you might think, okay, I'm faithful. Or maybe you might think, well, I'm not always faithful. Maybe I'm not included in this anthem. And so that's the question. We all know all too well how fallible and weak we are. We all know that we are capable, what we're capable of in our darkest moments, and we all know how unworthy we are. And I think sometimes we can imagine that the invitation to come is for the successful and the spiritually strong. We might read it and read the words, but feel like somehow this invitation isn't to us because we're all too familiar with what unfaithfulness feels like and what it looks like. So I want you to think about this song, which is kind of a redo of the song that we just sang.
Born. Christ is born.
Every one of us is unfaithful in and of ourselves, are we not? God is calling the unfaithful to be faithful. But he's calling you to be faithful not to try to muster up some faith of your own. He's calling you to be faithful to receive the faith that he has already wrought out and demonstrated. Now, it's not just a figurative faith that he's calling you to receive. It is a real and living faith because we have a real and living Savior. And just as literally as Jesus walked this planet more than 2,000 years ago today, he wants to walk this planet in the hearts of his people today. That faith, the faith of Jesus, would be living and real today. And that is his invitation to us. And in Romans 12, verse 3, God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. And it is that measure, the fullness of Christ and his faith, that he has dealt. It's not like he's giving you a small portion and says, now build on it. He has given every man that measure. The only question then is, will we have it? Will we allow him to have that full access? We must remember this is what it means to be faithful. We're all familiar with this verse that we're in the time of the third angel's message. And here at the very culmination, the very last words of the third angel's message in which we stand in this time is, here are those. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those that keep the commandments of God. And there's something else they keep. The faith of Jesus. They allow the faith of Christ, the indwelling, living Christ, the one who's ministering in the sanctuary for us above, in order that this may happen, to live out his life in them. And that's the only way they can keep his commandments. To keep and guard them, to keep and guard this faith. This is the faith of Christ. This is the true faith that he has called us to. And it is this faith that reminds us how completely unable we are to accomplish this faith in and of ourselves. It reminds me of some words that I've read in a sermon that was given a long time ago before General Conference delegates in 1893. And a young minister who was standing up and presenting before those delegates was sharing a message with them. And as A.T. Jones shared this message, this champion of righteousness by faith, he was referring to a passage in Luke 13:26, and he goes through a scenario of what it might be like of those who come to the gates of heaven. We're all looking for the soon coming of Christ and what the hearts of those are going to be like. And so he has this dialogue and does this representative dialogue as he's presenting there to the General Conference delegates. You pretend you guys are the General Conference delegates right now. And these were Jones's words. And in that day, there are going to be two parties there. There are going to be some there when the door is shut, and they will want to go in, and they will say, Lord, open to us. We want to come in. And someone comes and asks, what have you done that you should come in? What right have you to enter the inheritance here? What claim have you upon that? Oh, we are acquainted with you. We have eaten and drunk in your presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Yes, besides that, we have prophesied in your name, and in your name we've cast out devils, and in your name we've done many wonderful works. Why, we have done many wonderful things. Lord, is not that evidence enough? Open the door. What is the answer? Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What did they say? We have done wonderful works. We have done them. We are right. We are righteous. We are just. Exactly right. Therefore, we are right to be here. Open the door. But it does not count there, does it? There is going to be another company there that day, a great multitude that no man can number, all nations, kindred, tongue, and people, and they will come up to enter in. And if anyone should ask them that question, what have you done that you should enter here? What claim have you here? The answer will be this. Oh, I've not done anything at all to deserve it. I'm a sinner, dependent only on the grace of the Lord. Oh, I was so wretched, so completely a captive, in such a bondage that nobody could deliver me but the Lord Himself. So miserable that all I could ever do was to have the Lord constantly to comfort me. So poor that I had constantly to beg from the Lord. So blind that no one but the Lord could cause me to see. So naked that no one could clothe me but the Lord Himself. All the claim that I have is what Jesus has done for me. When in my misery I wanted comfort, He comforted me all the way. When in my poverty I begged, He gave me riches. When in my blindness I asked Him to show me the way, that I might know the way, He led me all the way and made me to see. When I was so naked that no one could clothe me, why, He gave me this garment that I have on. And so all I can present, all that I have to present as that upon which I can enter, any claim that I could cause me to enter, is just what He has done for me. If that will not pass, then I'm left out, and that will be just too. If I am left out, I have no complaint to make. But, oh, will not this entitle me to enter and possess the inheritance? But he said, the one at the gate said, well, there are some very particular persons here. They want to be fully satisfied that everyone that goes in by here, we have 10 examiners here. When they look into a man's case and say that he is all right, why, then he can pass. Are you willing to have these shall be called to examine your case? And we shall answer, yes. Yes, because I want to enter in and I'm willing to submit to any examination, because even if I am left out, I have no complaint to make. I am lost anyway when I am left to myself. Well, says he will, let's call them then. And those 10 were brought in to say, why, yes, we're perfectly satisfied with him. Why, yes, the deliverance that he obtained from his wretchedness is that which the Lord wrought. The comfort that he had all the way and that he needed so much is that which the Lord gave. The wealth that he has, whatever it was, poor as he was, the Lord gave it. And blind, whatever he sees, is the Lord that gave it to him. He sees only what the Lord sees. And naked as he was, that garment that he has on, the Lord gave it to him. The Lord wove it. And it is all divine. It is only Christ. Why, yes, he can come in. And at that moment, during the general conference session, the whole congregation spontaneously started singing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when the congregation singing quieted and hushed, Jones went on to say, and then, brethren, there will come over the gates a voice of sweetest music, full of the gentleness and compassion of my Savior. And the voice will come from within saying, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Why standest thou without? And the gate will be swung wide open, and we shall have an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How many of you look forward to that day? Amen. The anthem and the call is simply, O come, let us adore Him for all that He has given. And I know you have already said before, and I know it's your desire now, that we each receive, this is the appeal, that we each receive the full measure of faith, the fullness of the faith of Jesus today, and allow Him to live out His life within us this day and each day forward. Is that your desire this morning? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You so much for the abundance that You pour out for each one of us. That all of heaven has been emptied on behalf of humanity and for each one of us individually. Oh, Father, that our hearts would take it in, that our hearts would be moved. That we would see the faith that Jesus lived by and how He put His full faith and trust in You in the situation and position that He took upon Himself at no fault of His own, but at the fault of us. But He lived victorious, and He offers that same faith. The faith that He is the author of, Father, may He be the finisher of it as He lives out His life in His people today. This is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.